Joined now from Knoxville by the voice of the Volunteers, Bob Kessling. John Ward passing away yesterday. Bob, good morning.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for joining us, Bob. And I know it's a busy time over there, but what a man. I mean, he meant so much to so many people, and I know you included.
Well, yeah, he had, you know, it was interesting. They did a story in the newspaper here the other day about the Mount Rushmore of Tennessee athletics, and I was kind of surprised that John wasn't one of the four up there on the mountain, because I think that back, especially in the 60s, when none of the games were on television and the basketball network maybe only had two or three stations, that John not only spread the word of Tennessee athletics as he grew the Vol network, but also helped spread Tennessee basketball along with Ray Mears. And I think he had as much of an impact on the fandom and growing the fan support and selling season tickets as anybody in Tennessee history. You know, he was an advertising guy. That's where he made his money. He did broadcasting as a hobby. He understood marketing a product, and he marketed Tennessee sports. He understood giving the customer what they wanted, and he did that as a broadcaster. He just understood the whole package, and I think he did just a masterful job of marketing and promoting and pushing, and the fact he was a gifted broadcaster also helped a lot. I mean, that it wouldn't have worked if he wasn't such a great broadcaster, but he was able to combine all of that and had such a huge impact on Tennessee athletics.
You know, Bob, reading last night on social media just how gracious of a man he was. People, like, would knock on the broadcast door and they can, you know, I'm going to get a quick autograph, and, you know, what's going to – he'd come out and sign an autograph and take a picture and talk to you for a minute or two. Just stories like that throughout and throughout, which just tells you how great of a man he was.
Yeah, he was always gracious with the fans, especially at the kickoff call-in show. I mean, he's the guy that got that started, and he'd sit there during the whole broadcast and be signing pictures. And you know, another – trade he had, he'd always carry a satchel with him, and in the satchel he would have 8x10 pictures of himself. Now you'd think that's a little vain,
right?
But the reason he did it was, if he had a youngster come up to him and maybe all they had was a scrap of paper or a napkin to get his autograph on, he that wasn't good enough. You know, if they had something for him to sign, he would sign that, but if they didn't have anything, they just had a scrap of paper or something, he wanted them to have a special experience. And then he'd bring out a picture of himself, and he'd personalize it and give it to them. And a lot of those kids, now they're grown up, but they still have that picture because it just made such a lasting impression on them. And again, that goes back to marketing and selling your product. At that point, he was selling John Ward and the Vol Network, and it worked.
You mentioned the Vol Network. He literally built that thing from the ground up, and now when you've got the IMG and the Nelligan and all of the different companies that come in and take over that broadcasting part and the selling of it and all of that, he just went to every county in the state and built it himself, didn't he?
Pretty much. You know, Lindsey Nelson is the one who started.
Right.
And then the Football Network was pretty established. I mean, the Football Network was pretty strong during the George Mooney era But where John really sold it, and he grew the network. I mean, he went to other stations, and he grew the Football Network too. But he also combined, if you wanted football, you had to take basketball. Mm-hmm. And that was a game changer for a lot of these stations. A lot of the stations didn't take basketball back then, but then he forced them to make it. And that's what helped grow Ray Mears and the Tennessee basketball and Big Orange Country and all of that. You know, he and Mears would get in the car, and they'd drive across the state selling tickets. And selling Big Orange Country. And so Ward and Woodruff and Ray Mears, they were really instrumental in marketing. And again, it goes back to John's advertising background, marketing UT sports across the state.
Bob, is there a favorite moment or call from John Ward that you remember? For me, it's Jeff Powell in the 86 Sugar Bowl when he took off and put the nail on Miami in that game. I'll always remember John Ward calling that. Is there one for you that stands out?
And I think John would always say that the Sugar Bowl game was his favorite because of the whole week, the build-up, how Tennessee fans took over Bourbon Street. Nobody gave him a chance to win the game, and I think from all the games I sat next to him, I think that was John's best game ever. He was on that night, and I was spotting for him. I mean, he didn't miss one, didn't miss a single call. And I thought he was fabulous that night. And as the game went along and the excitement and how Tennessee took over the Superdome and everything, I think that was probably his finest hour. And, you know, it's hard to say, was that better than the national championship game in 98? From a historical standpoint, probably not. But I think most people will tell you, because that Sugar Bowl game is still so special for most Tennessee fans, that was a special night for all of us.
And I tell you, Bob, when they honored him at the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game, when he came out at the end of the first quarter, and you heard it, the groundswell of applause when people realized what was going on. They brought him out there. They put it on the Jumbotron. They made the announcement. And even when Neyland Stadium wasn't full that day, it was extremely loud for that man.
Well, I think a lot of the people sensed that maybe that might be the last time he was going to be in Neyland Stadium. Maybe that's the last time. He's 88 years old. Maybe the last time they're going to see him. And so they saluted him for all the great moments he brought them. And I thought it was a touching tribute. You know, and John wasn't in good health at that time when he came to the game. And so the thing was that they were going to, you know, get him on a golf cart, take him out to the end zone. He was going to do the presentation. They get in the golf cart, they take him back. But he wouldn't leave. He stayed in the end zone, and he sat there and watched the game for, you know, an extended period of time. And you just wonder if he knew that maybe this was going to be the last time he was going to be at a Tennessee football game in the old stadium, and he soaked it up. And yeah, you're right. It was a very, very touching and special moment. One of the things I cherish is over the past 5 or 6 years, right before the start of the football season, Tim Priest and our wives would take out John Ward and Bill and their wives, and we'd go to dinner out of Foothills Milling Company out in Maryville. And we'd have a room there off to the side. But it was so funny to watch people as they walked by and they'd see, you know, John and Bill sitting in there and Tim and I, and they're, oh, my goodness. But we'd sit there and tell stories, and not all about football or games, but about the road trips we used to take, about special moments, and Bill's career in the NFL and Ward's advertising career and all that. And it was magical. And just to be able to share those moments and those times, I'll always remember that.
Bob, I guess this is a question I could ask you anytime, but now especially, you know, Lindsey Nelson to John Ward to Bob Kesslick, and you always hear about people who have followed a legend like you have. That it's not easy, and you've handled it with such grace.
Well, Greg, I'll tell you, there were many more people told me not to take this job than to take it. You know, if you remember at the time, I was doing Jefferson Pilot SEC football and basketball, and, you know, and that was a good gig, and I was sports director here at Channel 10 in town, and everything was going pretty good, and I had a lot of guys, broadcasters, tell me, you don't want to be the guy that replaces him, you want to be the next guy. And but I thought, you know, this job only opens up about every 30 years or so, so if it gets offered, I need to look at it. And the fact that it was my school, you know, I played here, even though it was so briefly, but I did play here. I graduated from here. My family was born here, raised here. It was just, I couldn't turn it down. And even if I wasn't successful at it or people didn't like me, you know, I had to take the opportunity. And it was funny. John never gave me any advice, never told me yay or nay. Kind of let me make my own decision on this. And I never asked him for advice on taking the job. But I do remember when I took the job at Jefferson Pilot and I left the Vol Network to take that job, he pulled me aside and he always called me Kiesling. He was Warped and I was Kiesling. He'd say, Kiesling, Warped here. And I said, yeah. And he said, I just want to let you know, said, when you take that job, you don't need to do all that phony, baloney, hokey stuff that I do on the air. And he said, we don't need another John Ward. We need a new Bob Kesslick. So don't try and do all that crap I do. And that was really good advice. You know, just go out and be, you know, he just wanted you to be yourself. And so it was really good. The other bit, if you got a second.
Yeah, sure, Bob, of course.
When I was a junior in college, I got an offer to become, there was a TV station up in Lexington that was going to start a weekend sportscast. And they called me. I'd never been on TV. I didn't know anything about it. But they called me, wanted me to come up there and talk to me about being their brand new weekend sports anchor. I knew some of the guys up. I knew the guy was going to be the sports director. And so we were buddies. So he called me, and that's how I got in. And they offered me the job. And so I'm thinking, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'll drop out of Tennessee. I'll go up to Lexington. I'll take the job, and I will when I start working up in Lexington, then I'll get in school again. I'll finish up my degree, and it'll be great. And so I convinced myself on the drive back from Lexington that's what I was going to do. So I went to talk to my fiance, who's now my wife, and I said, all right, here's what I'm doing. I'm moving to Lexington, and we're going to move up there, and we're going to get you'll get a job, and I'll get. She said, you know, before you do that, you need to go talk to John Ward. I said, well, John will back this. He'll be fine with this. Well, you need to go talk to John. So I went out to his house on a Sunday afternoon. I'll never forget it. Went out to his house out at Fox Den and kind of laid it out for him, telling him what I was going to do. And he sat there and he had a notepad. He was taking notes down. And he was nodding his head. You know, I said, well, okay, he's buying all of this. And so I get done laying it out. And I said, what do you think? And he looked at me and said, are you crazy? He said, are you absolutely out of your mind? Why would you do that? He said, what's going to happen? You're going to get up there. You're going to get so involved with your job. You'll never get your degree. You'll never finish college. He said, your senior year of college should be one of the best of your life. You need to stay here at Tennessee and enjoy that. If you're any good, you'll be able to get a job when you graduate. He said, you don't need to go to Kentucky. You need to stay here and get your degree. And I kind of looked at him and said, well, I guess. And he said, besides that, if you got a chance to get a degree from the University of Tennessee, why in the heck would you want one from Kentucky? And I said, well, that kind of seals the deal. And so I turned the job down, and I stayed at Tennessee, and I graduated. So then you just kind of think, what would have happened? Well, how would my life be different if I would have taken that job up in Kentucky? You know, you never know. Those are some of the forks in the road you take. But John had wise advice for me, and John – he knew. I mean, he knew once I got up there, I'd get racked up at my job and I wouldn't finish. And he just told me, stay here at Tennessee, get your degree. And that's what I did. So I was always very thankful for him for doing that for me.
Bob, we're thankful for you joining us this morning. We know you got a busy day and a busy week. So thank you much. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Greg. Thanks for calling.
All right. See you soon. Bob Kessler.